Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining this very important call to discuss an absolutely tragic incident that I wished would never happen. I'm Darren James, Managing Director of Infrastructure, and I'm joined on the M1 Junction 16 to 19 site by Simon Ellison, Highway Sector Director, and Eamonn Slevin, the Project Manager for the scheme. Sadly, at 8:45 A.M. on the 10th of October, I received the call that we dread. I was told that one of our colleagues, Robert English, working for our drainage subcontractor, Caulfield, was fatally injured by coming into contact with a six-ton dumper being driven within the hard shoulder of the northbound M1, just north of Junction 16. Robert was a frontline supervisor, overseeing some carpentry work within the drainage team. Robert was 47 and leaves behind his partner, Caroline, and three young daughters. A detailed investigation was launched immediately and is currently ongoing, involving the police, the Health and Safety Executive, the joint venture, and Highways England. It is vital that whilst the investigation is ongoing, we share the current understanding of the root causes with you, together with the broader learning and associated impact that has come from this tragic accident. I will shortly hand over to Eamonn, but before I do, could I urge you to commit fully to learning from this tragedy, and with the help of the whole team, make sure that the circumstances that Caroline and her daughters find themselves in is never repeated again. Eamonn.
Thank you, Darren. Good morning, colleagues. Sadly, I speak to you this morning from a scheme where, similar to yours, the emphasis on safety is almost paramount in what we do. Still, though, we gather to remember our colleague, Robert, who tragically lost his life last week. Needless to say, our thoughts are, as Darren said, with his wife, Caroline, and three young daughters at this extremely difficult time. Last month, we passed a 500,000 man-hours without a lost time accident. We had a zero AFR. We seek innovation and improvement in how we operate, with particular focus on safety, and have been recognized internally and externally for doing so. And yet this heartbreaking incident still occurred. I was in our Manchester office when I took the call. Those words that we all dread, there's been an accident. As is common in these circumstances, the information was a little unclear at first. We then realized the situation was more serious, and I would need to travel to site immediately. I had to call home to get a bag. Around the corner from my home, the phone rang. It was the scheme construction manager. I pulled over, and Alistair asked if I was driving. I told him I'd pulled over. He said, "I'm sorry, mate." He slipped away. The moment was surreal and almost incomprehensible. I carried on to home to be met by my wife, surprised with me being there. She knew instantly that something dreadful had happened. I must have had to have the same look on my face that I saw in the faces of my team last week as I briefed them on the morning's tragic event. The support over the past week, client, parent companies, and many other suppliers has been constant and offered some support. The team have taken up counselling and are pulling together to help each other out, but are devastated by the week's events. We need to use this horrible event to further drive improvements, to raise the standards that we set, and to reduce any harm that we may cause. I truly hope none on the call this morning need go through what we are going through now. Simon.
Thanks, Eamonn. It has been an incredibly sad and difficult week here on the M1 for all those involved. When a tragic event like this occurs, it becomes about how you react. The team here, led by Eamonn, have reacted how you would hope, dealing with this massive burden with the right balance of empathy and professionalism, being completely open supportive to each other, and relentless in terms of pursuit of the learning and sharing so this doesn't happen again. Despite our collective sadness, we know it doesn't compare with that of Robert's family, what they are going through now and what they still have to go through. And this sadness is heightened knowing that, like other accidents of this type, this needless loss could have been prevented. The investigation is still ongoing. However, there are key learnings that I would like to share with you this morning. The two key areas are plant-person segregation, appropriate for the task and activities in place, and visibility. That's visibility of plant operators, such as a dumper operator, and those in and around the plant. As Eamon said, the support has been overwhelming, and myself and the team here are extremely grateful for that. This call is not about support, however. It's about your action and your commitment in the following three areas. It's about ensuring that you've got robust plant and person segregation in place every shift, every activity, every time. Physical segregation is by far the best control measure. It's not always possible, particularly when you've got various activities and gangs working in the same area. In which case, clear accountability, clear communication, for example, thumbs up with the driver, is absolutely vital. In this particular instance, the incident involved two separate gangs carrying out two different work activities in very close proximity, all working for the same subcontractor. Again, communication is absolutely vital. Many sites have site speed limits, and many sites where plant is close to a working operation have a maximum of 5 miles an hour. 5 miles an hour is walking pace. It makes a massive difference. The second key area is dumper loading. No load on a dumper, a 6-ton or 4-ton, 4-tipping dumper, should impair the driver's visibility more than when the dumper is unloaded. So if you can imagine being the dumper sat in the seat, you should be able to see the front of the skip and the two sides of the skip like you would see when the dumper is unloaded. The third point, an action, is more of a question, and it's a question that you need to ask yourself. How do you know, how can you be sure that these controls are in place and being implemented in line with procedures on every shift, for every activity, every time? Because if you don't know that, you don't know that you're not going to be the person to receive the next ready phone call. And we don't know that we're going to be able to avoid this taking place again. There will be a follow-up from Peter Fisher this week on those three activities and key elements and what you are doing to ensure that they're implemented. And there will be a requirement to feedback on this by the end of the week. Thank you for your ongoing commitment and action to make sure we embed the learning from this incident and prevent a future tragic accident like this happening again. Thank you.
Thank you.